Welcome back to the Mike Shamari Show. My guest on this Thanksgiving Eve is the host of Dave's Gone By and Filler Up on WGBBAM here on Long Island. He also, as you know, because he's been on the show before, co-publishes a theater journal called Performing Arts Insider, is the author of Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. Please welcome back to the Mike Shamari Show, Dave Lefkowitz.
Hi, Mike. Thank you so much, and I'm so honored that you saved me for Thanksgiving. Or is it just because, you know, people are busy and not listening, so you're squirreled on the one day when nobody's going to be around. But thank you either way.
Oh, you're very welcome, and thank you.
So, how you been?
I've been good.
Good.
All right. Well,
what would you like to talk about?
Well,
that was
a
quick interview. That was good.
Yeah. Good night, everybody.
Drive safely.
Yeah. Well, I do have a question. I have several questions.
Sure.
We're going to work our way to Broadway. First of all, what has happened off Broadway since August?
What has happened off Broadway since August?
Yes.
Not a whole heck of a lot. You know, some of the institutional-ish theaters have started their seasons. Nothing's been really exciting. I mean, they had a new Terrence McNally play open with Nathan Lane and Marion Seldes in it. That was extended a couple of times, even though it was a pretty bad play, called Dedication or The Stuff of Dreams. There's a musical, Beowulf, that didn't do too well at the Irish Rep, although some people thought it was okay. I mean, nothing really terribly of great import that I'm thinking of, although I did see something, a couple of nice things. There's a show at downtown's Minetta Lane Theater called Five Course Love that is a sweet, funny musical about these different romances that take place in five different restaurants. And it's not the greatest musical in the world, but the guy who did it is very talented, and he's probably going to make a great musical one day. And if I can just mention one more thing, off Broadway, there's a terrific show called Belly of a Drunken Piano, which is a guy doing the songs of Tom Waits. And he's not being Tom Waits. He's sort of channeling just the energy and the kind of voice that Waits has, but the music is so strong, it's got a combo behind him, and it's really hard rock and powerful rock blues, and this is from someone who has seen Tom Waits perform live for real himself, and I was thinking, this guy rocks harder than Tom, and it's neat. It's called Belly of a Drunken Piano. So that's kind of an all-over-the-place answer to the off-Broadway question.
Okay.
But stuff.
Well, that's what we were looking for, actually.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, what has happened on Broadway since we last spoke?
Well, Broadway is finally climbing out of a rather slumpy sort of opening. I mean, when you have a season that it didn't quite start, but had a Suzanne Somers solo as one of its first shows of the season. You remember that. It was called The Blonde and the Thunderbird. And it was the life and really rather awful times of Suzanne Somers, which was just... It had some moments in it, but it was pretty terrible.
Mm.
It was supposed to run for a couple of weeks, and they cut it off after one. So that sort of set the tone. And then there was a couple of flop musicals also. Lennon opened, which I rather liked. I thought, you know, hey, good music, and we know the story, and the story's told okay. But most of the critics found it rather unfocused, and because what they did, one of the conceits was, and I kind of like this, was that it just wasn't just one guy playing John Lennon. All the cast members at various times would be taking turns playing him and playing other people in his life. And I thought that, hey, that's really cool, because the Beatles, you know, thematically were all about you can be anything you want to be, and it's okay, and you're who you say you are, and freedom is the whole name of the game. But a lot of folks felt, no, you need one or two people. One person may be playing Lennon rather young, and then one other person, and that will clarify a lot of stuff. And they were also mad that there were no Beatles songs in the show. They just had The Ballad of John and Yoko, which technically not quite a Beatles song, and the rest was all his solo work. And I don't think it's really fair to criticize the show for that, but people did. People didn't come. Anyway, and that piled on top of yet another, well, it might turn into a cult hit, but it certainly won't be. There will be a real hit called In My Life. I don't know if you knew this, but the guy who wrote the song You Light Up My Life, Joseph Brooks, has a Broadway musical. It's all like his vision, out of his head, and that's kind of rare on Broadway now because of how much it costs and how long the process usually is to think of a musical, to write it, to workshop it, to take it out of town, to do all these things to it. He just said, this is my musical. He got the backing for it, put it up on stage, and, well, it's different. It's actually fairly low-key most of the time. There's this odd love story, and I swear to God, you've probably heard this synopsis, between a youngish songwriter who has Tourette's syndrome.
Yes, we've heard this.
You've heard, and a woman who has obsessive-compulsive various disorders, plus he ends up getting a tumor later on in the show. And if this isn't enough, that's the part we all know. There's also this weird kind of effeminate MC who's in heaven, and he's kind of like the MC in Cabaret, and he's writing an opera for God. And the subjects of his opera are this composer with Tourette syndrome and his girlfriend. It's a strange show, and I thought it would be like totally out there, totally off the wall and wild, bad wild, but that can be wildly fun. Instead, it's kind of cute, amusing for a while, and some nice tunes, but then it gets kind of boring and dreary. But it does end with one of the most amazing images I have ever seen in a Broadway musical. It's like my jaw hit the floor. Well, not quite.
Mm-hmm.
I hit the floor when I saw it. And you see the couple, they're getting married, and they're standing in front of this enormous, giant lemon, which has a thematic connection to the show. But I was like, wow, if anything says anything about this show, it's the fact that they're standing in front of a huge lemon. But do you want me to talk a little more about Broadway?
Cause there is sure. Yeah, there's plenty of stuff.
Certainly on the more hit side, you've got The Odd Couple with the Glimmer Twins, the golden duo of Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick. I call them the pro duo because they were, of course, in The Producers and basically turned that into a mint. And The Odd Couple was sold out before its first preview, doing 100%, 101% box office. The critics were not so impressed. They thought, oh, why are they doing this old, amusing show? And they liked Lane but thought he wasn't quite right for Oscar. And they didn't really like Matthew Broderick as Felix. They thought he was taking... hasn't found the special road that will make him a believable real Felix yet. I don't know. I saw the show. It's funny as hell. It's a really terrific Neil Simon comedy. And Nathan Lane spouting the dialogue of Neil Simon, you don't really need much more than that. It's marvelous.
Hmm.
And as I said, I saw Nathan Lane in that bad show by Terrence McNally. You know, he can't save a really bad show, but a good one, it is heaven. And I don't blame people for snapping up tickets. And, what else is out there? There's a very charming show. It's going to have a hard time finding audiences, but if they find it, I think they'll appreciate it. It's a show called Souvenir with Judy Kaye.
Okay.
They played off-Broadway last year and did pretty well, and now they've moved it up to the big time. It's this sweet little story, true story, of singer Florence Foster Jenkins. Have you ever heard of her, Mike?
No.
She was an opera singer of sorts.
Okay.
In her own head. The only problem was she could not sing, and yet she sang anyway. She would give recitals where she lived, and word got out that she would, you know, she was one of the worst singers who ever lived, and people would come to first to laugh, but also to appreciate the joy that she took in singing, even though you had to hold your ears every time she opened her mouth. And she became so popular and such a cause célèbre that her biggest night was at Carnegie Hall. She actually had a big recital. So this is the story of her and her pianist getting ready for that moment and how they met and her whole thing of just not realizing that the voice coming out of her mouth was not the same thing that was obviously in her head. It's a cute show, a little longish, but it plays a lot better than it did off-Broadway. The recast piano player, and he's much livelier. And who knows, it might be a very soft little hit if the reviews, you know, carry it. So that's been opening. You've got an Andrew Lloyd Webber show coming up soon called The Woman in White. Jersey Boys got some very, very good reviews. I know people were talking about the imminent death of the jukebox musical because we saw Lennon go under and All Shook Up, which I had a wonderful time at. That was a flop. Mamma Mia is the exception to the rule, as is Moving Out.
Mm-hmm.
But we've also seen some other jukebox musicals just go down the toilet. All Good Vibrations just, you know, drowned. Wow. This, however, the critics said, they got it right. They had Marshall Brickman working on the book. He's the guy who co-wrote some of Woody Allen's early movies. So he was there to help tell the story of Frankie Valli in The Four Seasons. And I haven't seen it yet, but it's supposedly really an enjoyable, fun show. And you've got a new a revivalist Stephen Sondheim, Sweeney Todd, with all the actors on stage playing their own instruments, which is probably going to be pretty fascinating. So it's been an up-and-down season so far. It always is. But it got off to kind of a slowish, draggy start. But there's always going to be surprises and things that should have been amazing that turn out to be eh, and things that you figure are going to be eh that are like, whoa, I'm glad I went. That was pretty good. That's just the nature of the theater.
Okay. A lot.
Did I talk long enough for you there, Mike?
Yes, but it's a lot to look forward to.
Yeah.
Except Moving Out is about to close, unfortunately.
Well, Moving Out is going to close. Chicky Chicky Bang Bang is going to close at the end of the year. That's not terribly good, but it has a couple of cute moments in it. I'm trying to, off the top of my head, think of some other things. There's a revival of Edward Albee's Seascape, and if you know Albee, he can be horrendously bad, or in the case of Virginia Woolf, really, really good. I don't know Seascape, so kind of looking forward to it. It's an older one of his. I think they're trying to bring August Wilson's last play, Radio Golf, to Broadway as kind of a memoriam to him, although that might not make it till early next season. What else? Oh, and The Color Purple is opening.
Yes.
On December 1st. You've got Oprah Winfrey put $1 million into it, because obviously she feels close to that material. It really zoomed her into the stratosphere as a movie. So people are sort of, kind of looking forward to seeing that, and I think it's doing very well in early previews. A lot of stuff. There really is. As I said, it started off kind of, there was a one-person show about Primo Levi, the Holocaust survivor, who doesn't say so in the show, but he went on to have a perfectly good life as a novelist and a physicist and an essay writer, not a novelist, and then killed himself. So, but that was one of the few really well-reviewed shows of the early part of the season. There's a new Richard Greenberg play. He was the guy who wrote Take Me Out. There's just stuff. There is stuff to see on Broadway. Not all of it incredibly great, but good enough to be worth a look.
Okay. Well, one of the big hit musicals of the past on Broadway is coming out today, November 23rd, and that is Rent. Are you looking forward to it?
Well, I wasn't a big Rent fan from the musical. I've seen it twice. I saw it, I didn't see it off-Broadway, where the magic really supposedly happened, that famous opening where the composer had died just that day or the day before. So it became this thing bigger than the musical itself. And while there are wonderful things about the show, I don't know. I always found it kind of not that interesting. The music is up and down. It's going to be interesting if they pull it together into a movie, or if it's already going to feel like a time capsule. If it's going to feel like, well, this was a fakeish version of what Lower East Side New York kind of was before it regentrified, and we might wind up with unlike what Sam Mendes did with Chicago, which is make a film for the ages. We might wind up with another Chorus Line where they capture it, and yet something essential is sort of missing to the experience. I don't know. It's going to be interesting, but I can't say, like, oh my God, Rent is coming out. I'm not a Rent fan.
No. Okay. All right. Well, honestly, I'm not either, but, we got to support it somehow.
Well, support the theater.
Right.
The movies don't necessarily need all your support. The theater does.
Yes.
That's why I'm sort of, I ramble on about it incessantly. I'm an advocate for it. I have a magazine, Performing Arts Insider, about it. I talk on my radio show, Dave's Gone By, about it. Notice how I'm throwing all these cool plugs.
Yes.
And because it's important to me that the art form is pushed, because TV doesn't need help, per se. Books, well, actually everything needs help nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
But still, theater is the poorest of the poor invalids. There's always more that can be done. There's always another penny that can go somewhere to helping something new and exciting come out on a stage and affect people in a certain way.
Okay. Well, you mentioned Dave's Gone By. How is that, and how is Filler Up? How are they both doing?
Well, thanks for asking. Well, Dave's Gone By is now in its third year. It plays on Thursday nights from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Mm-hmm. And if you're not in the WGBB listening area of, like, Nassau and Suffolk, Long Island, you can also listen live streaming. The station has audio web stream. I won't give their, you know, URL, because I know you're on another station.
Right.
But you can go to my website, davesgoneby.org, and give it a listen. And we've had, I mean, the show is a mix of comedy and talk radio and sketches and kind of the blabber that I'm doing now. I've also had some amazing guests recently, which is kind of nice. A lot of musical people like Jill Sobule and Christine Lavin is coming up. Oscar Brand, a legendary folk singer. Peter Tork of the Monkees. And some other non-musical kind of folks that I'm almost blanking on for the minute. But a couple of directors and some I've had Julie Haggerty, the lovely actress from mm-hmm. Airplane, was on not too long ago. And just sort of interesting people, like a recent interview was with a woman who wrote a book about her experiences being a turnaround woman, like more like a hatchet woman at big corporations and companies where they call her to fire people and get the company back on track. And so it was kind of interesting talking to her. Lots and lots of stuff. It's a neat show. People should check it out. Thursday nights at 7. And plus there's comedy, and I do something called The News Gone By, which is like Weekend Update, or sort of like The Daily Show, where I make fun of real stories in the news, but I put a goofy spin on them, or the World Weird Web, where I find interesting or kooky or useful sites on the Internet and talk about those. It's the nice thing about Dave's Gone By is each episode is kind of different. You know, that's what keeps it interesting for me. I never know week to week what I'm going to concentrate on, what's going to be on my mind, what spin I'm going to give things, and hopefully that's what audiences tune in for, too, just to hear an hour of unique music and talk and comedy on the radio. And as for Filler Up, that's just fun, too. That's on at 9, same station. Also, you can listen live stream. And that's all music, eclectic stuff. Unlike you, I have to admit, I've never gotten into, like, modern or cool jazz. For me, you know, if there's a hell, Kenny G is the Muzak of it. Sorry.
It's all right.
That's where I'm coming from. I hate to insult the host of the show, Mike, but...
No, it's okay. I'm not that much of a fan of Kenny G's later stuff. I mean...
Or Spyro. It's not my thing.
Oh, okay.
But many other types of music are. Rock, folk, classical, blues, reggae, some rap. I love to mix it all together and just play a set of music unlike whatever else you're going to hear basically on terrestrial radio, because it's just the stuff I want to hear. Or sometimes if someone's having a birthday that week, say a singer-songwriter or a member of a band is born the night of the show or a day or two later, I'll play three or four of their songs and give a little biographical history of them. Not really educational, but just, you know, kind of getting their music out there and telling a bit about them, making it interesting, listenable music radio, I hope.
Okay. Well, we've been talking with Dave's... We're not done yet. We're talking with Dave's Gone By here on the Mike Shamari Show on Web Radio WCWP. I think that's the first time I've mentioned that since the very beginning of this interview.
And you're not talking with Dave's Gone By. You're talking about Dave Lefkowitz, the host.
Yes, I did say Dave Lefkowitz.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm not like, I didn't get myself legally name changed to Dave's Gone By.
Okay, did I say we're talking to Dave's Gone By?
Well, okay, make believe that I am.
Okay, you're Dave Lefkowitz, though.
Right. Well, my nickname is Filler Up, so there you go. That's how we can work it all.
Okay. Well,
my close friends call me Performing Arts Insider, so there you go.
Okay. What are your plans for Thanksgiving? And this is the last question.
Oh, wow, that was quick.
I know.
I just prattled on, didn't I? Well, then I have to give like a 20-minute answer to this one. It's been the usual. I used to go, my wife and I used to go to my aunt's house, but that's become now a thing for her parents. So they put on a little spread, and they usually have a turkey or a roast, and the usual fixins, and we go up to their house, and it has a nice little day. And it's a little grim, because to me, Thanksgiving is always when the weather really changes. Mm-hmm. You usually still get nice weather in October and even into early November. But invariably these days, Thanksgiving is always that moment when you know even early autumn is gone and you got to get the heavy coats out and the hats and the sweaters and the snow's coming and the sleigh mm-hmm. and the sleet. So that's why we're all, you know, filling up on turkey and stuff, because we know it's that last good moment until March. But you know what? It's nice to be with family. What are you doing, Mike, for the holiday?
I don't know. I'm probably going to be at home with my parents and my sister.
Nice.
And it's going to be a fun Thanksgiving.
Well, good. Well, good. I wish one to all your audience as well.
Okay, thank you. Yes, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And thank you very much, Dave, for coming back.
Oh, a pleasure anytime, Mike. Thanks.
Okay, this has been Dave Lefkowitz again here on The Mike Shamari Show, and we'll be right back with more music.